This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And if you'd like to give us a call, we would enjoy your input. 877-217-5757. Send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We were slated today to visit with the editor of the Wall Street Journal, Alex Martin, two-time Pulitzer winner, LSU graduate, native of New Orleans. But Alex informed me before showtime he was called into an emergency meeting. He will not be with us today. He has rescheduled for Friday. So we'll hear from Alex Martin this Friday. But we do have much to talk about, as you know. It's an interesting world and mostly interesting from a tragic standpoint, 19 weeks and one day away from the November 3rd presidential election. This story from the Associated Press, 1 minute, Rayshard Brooks was chatting cooperatively with Atlanta police, saying he'd had a couple of drinks to celebrate his daughter's birthday and agreeing to a breath test. The next, they were wrestling on the ground and grappling over a taser before Brooks took the weapon and ran. Seconds later, three gunshots sounded. Brooks fell mortally wounded. Atlanta police video released Sunday showed a seemingly routine sobriety check outside a Wendy's restaurant that quickly spun out of control, ending in gunfire. The killing of the 27-year-old black man in an encounter with two white police officers late Friday rekindled fiery protests in Atlanta and prompted the resignation of the police chief. With us to talk about this and more, E. Fay Williams, National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and also a former counsel to the District of Columbia, and she has been named to Ebony Magazine's 100 Most Influential Black Americans several times, native of Louisiana. As we know, she ran for Congress and almost won a race in a district that was 62% white in the year of 1986. And here we are 34 years later, and some people say we have regressed rather than progressed when it comes to race relations in our country and in our state. And also joining us is advertising executive Angela Dortch, who is in Atlanta and participated in her first protest rally a few days ago. And she will give us the take of what is happening in one of America's great cities, one of the world's great cities, Atlanta, which is ripped apart right now by racial unrest in the streets. And let's start with you, Angela Dortch. You're at the epicenter of what's going on as far as the protests, which have not been peaceful. There, of course, have been fires and all kinds of things going on in Atlanta, and some people would say for good reason. But what is happening based on what you are seeing it from where you are?
Good morning. Thank you. It's my honor to be here with you this morning. It's been quite a difficult last 3 weeks here. It's been high anxiety. I live two blocks east of the Lenox Mall, so I really am right in the middle of things. I'm 10 minutes from downtown. I was living in L.A. during the Rodney King riots. So when the protests and the uprising started here in Atlanta, it just kind of brought in all of those old scary feelings. It was for the first 2 weeks after George Floyd's murder, there was a lot of protests. Unfortunately, there were some people that came out from out of town that were doing the looting. But the city really has come together. In my neighborhood, the neighbors are helping each other. The stores that were broken into, we all got out the next day and we were cleaning up the glass. The unfortunate effects of it, where the anxiety comes in, is that literally, there were military tanks going up and down Lenox Road. Mm. So where I live, from my driveway of my house, I could see the military police out with their automatic weapons right outside of my door. There were helicopters over, drones. It just, it was very scary. I was much more afraid of the military police than I was of any protesters. It's just, and the helicopters, they're out until, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You still hear them hovering right over the house. So I haven't had a full night's rest in over 3 weeks.
All right. Stay with us, Angela, and we're joined now by Faye Williams from Washington, D.C. She has been in Louisiana the last few days, and of course, Washington and Louisiana and everywhere else in the country, there are rallies, and we'll talk about what happened in New Orleans as well. But Faye Williams, 3 weeks ago today, George Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer, Derek Chauvin. And the world has changed, and now we're unfortunately having another case in Atlanta where an unarmed African-American man was shot in the back by two white police officers. It's hard to get past this without getting emotional, but what's your perception on whether there will be peace in our time?
Well, you know, Jim, it's always good to be with you, but I want to say that many of us are asking, when will it end? It will end when we stop accepting it, and I think that's what these last 3 weeks to a month many people have said. And the difference this time is that it's not just those of us who have suffered from the discrimination, from the treatment, the unjust treatment in this country. It's not just us who are saying it and who are working to make a difference. Every time I look at the audiences, look at the protesters, I see people who don't look like me, but they're out there nevertheless. They're suffering some of the same things that black people have suffered through the years. And so we have to have hope. You know, it's good for us to say that we're never going to give up at this time. And we won't stop working to build the country that we've never been respected in. But we expect that we can resolve these problems because we have more allies right now. And I'm not one of those who say, well, we don't need any allies. Where have they been? No, we need all of us to perfect this union. And when we continue to work for justice and not give up, don't stop the protest. And I want to make the distinction between riots and protests or riots and revolts. What people are doing now is revolting. The riots you see are just by a few of the people who don't have any hope, who don't want to see the country progress. But those who are revolting, who are walking those streets every day and every night and making statements about justice for all, we don't want to see the country destroyed. We've worked to build this country. And while some people are destroying it, we want to destroy the practices that keep us from enjoying this and making this a more perfect union.
Well, all over the country, people are up in arms, and it isn't an election year. It's reminiscent of 1968 when the country was torn apart not only by civil rights but by Vietnam. And yesterday at a protest at Duncan Plaza, protesters in New Orleans took down a statue of John McDonough and rolled it into the Mississippi River. So that shows you how angry people are about what is happening in our country right now, and this is an issue that is as old as our country. We have not treated black people equitably, and right now public opinion appears to be swaying toward the Black Lives Matter crew, and that would have been unheard of at one point. But Faye Williams, I'm going to bring politics into it. We have an election in which President Trump, who, according to some, is fomenting racial unrest, is battling a guy who is very popular with African-American voters. Is this a seminal point in America's history when it comes to the election of 2020?
I think we're going to have more people vote in the election on November 3rd than we've ever had before. Many of us have been working on voter registration to bring out people who've never voted before. And I sort of compare it with the time that I ran for office in Louisiana. I know that my own brother had never voted before, but he saw a reason to vote. And I think now, as people watch television every day, as they look at people out there in the street trying to make this a more perfect union, I think they're influenced to vote. They're saying that there is a reason to vote. President Obama is out there influencing people. Joe Simon from Louisiana, from Simsport, is working on an online voter registration program to help give personal help to people who've never registered to vote before. They get that personal help. There's so many groups that are working now on voter registration, because if people aren't registered, they won't be able to vote.
All right, and the reports are that voting registration in the pandemic is down, but We'll see. We do have 19 weeks before the election. People are up in arms. It is apparent that Joe Biden, by his own acknowledgement, will choose a woman as his running mate unless he changes his mind. And there are some who believe he might choose Stacey Abrams, the woman who ran a close second in the Georgia governor's election. You have met her, haven't you, Angela?
I have, and she's absolutely fantastic. I'm a part of her organization where we are strongly encouraging people to vote early, because the debacle that just happened here in Atlanta was just horrible. People were in line until 2:30 a.m. in the morning. So we are strongly encouraging early voting.
877-217-5757, your number, talkatalklouisiana.org is our email, and we'll return in 90 seconds with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Angela Dortch, advertising executive in Atlanta, and Dr. Ife Williams, longtime activist, and they, of course, are commenting on the events of what's transpiring in the 3 weeks since George Floyd's death at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer, while other officers stood by and did nothing. And now we have an incident over the weekend in Atlanta where an unarmed black man was shot in the back by two white police officers. The police chief has resigned, and this is all amid a pandemic. And the death count in the United States now from coronavirus is 117,866. So it is a world of uncertainty. People generally don't like uncertainty, but on the other hand, a listener notes that when these riots break out, that often the so-called law and order candidates end up benefiting from it, and we'll see how this plays out. But right now, President Trump's numbers are at an all-time low, and this is from a man who's never been collectively above 50%. Some polls have had him above 50%, but never over 50% when all the polls are weighted. 877-217-5757. Ray in Prairieville. Ray, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. All I wanted to ask your guest was, can we have a little bit more moderation in the reporting of these things? I'm very unhappy when I'm all in favor of the protests. I think they're great. And I think we've had a lot of racial injustice. But that doesn't justify burning of Wendy's or looting a store or violence. On the other hand, the far right doesn't approve or shouldn't approve of the police going out and chasing people out of the square in Washington, D.C.,
All right. Thank you, Ray. Faye, would you comment?
I will, and I thank the caller for that comment, because a lot of people don't quite understand that those of us who have worked for change for years and who still are working for change are not a part of the looting or the reporting, as he said. We are working to make a positive difference. I don't know if the caller knew my good friend Dick Gregory. But Dick Gregory was a person who all of his life worked for peace worked for justice because he knew that there could not be any peace without that justice. And that's what the majority of the people out there are doing right now.
All right. Now, as far as Atlanta, I mentioned Angela Dortch participated in her first rally, a protest rally. Was it a peaceful rally, Angela?
It was a peaceful rally. It was definitely a protest. So I agree with most of what Ray was speaking of. It was a peaceful protest. The majority of the folks that are out there are not. They're just trying to get the attention and to make change and participate in the global awareness. They are not a part of the violence. Unfortunately, that's the breaking news is the exciting part. The exciting part is when something gets burned down or there is some violence. And also the unfortunate part is that is usually what makes people wake up and see that there is a problem when something is looted or burned down, or it all of a sudden it catches someone's attention, whereas you can do peaceful protests forever, and if it doesn't stir you, people don't wake up. And yes, Ms. Fay, I also knew Dick Gregory, and I definitely agree with what you were saying earlier.
Roberto writes at talkatalklouisiana.org, wondering how safe it can be to vote today when all voting machines used are electronic and can be hacked. Angela, do you vote electronically in Atlanta, in Georgia?
You know, that's a great subject. We have this last election, the reason why there was such a debacle, well, one of many reasons, is because we have brand new voting machines. And so it was a combination of the electronic and paper, brand new machines in the middle of a pandemic. So on top of waiting for hours to get in, they did a good job with their mask and a hand sanitizer and all of that. But you had to go in first electronically vote, then it would print out a piece of paper. Then you had to stand into a second line, enter in that piece of paper to make sure that it registered.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Much like what Henry Ford did to fight unions in his auto plants, is there evidence that the right wingers are pretending to be protesters against racism, engage in looting in order to diminish public support for the cause?
Is there any proof? We've heard this from both sides, by the way, that they're like double agents trying to stir trouble. But is there any proof of that, Fay, where right-wingers are actually setting places afire?
Well, I would like to hope that it's not true that anybody is doing it. But certainly those people who are working for peaceful change, justice, and all wouldn't be burning down buildings. That's why I mentioned the difference in rioting and revolting. The people who are rioting are not for the same cause that we are. They are just for destroying what they can't have and what somebody else can have.
All right, David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Fay and with Angela. David, good morning to you.
Good morning to everyone. You know, I'm a very liberal guy. And I certainly have empathy for the plight of African-American people in this country. But, you know, the lady who's the African-American representative of the Black Caucus in the United States Congress, I forgot her name, she was on one of the cable channels yesterday, and she said the people at Wendy's should have never called the police. I'm glad the people at Wendy's called the police. I'm very sad of the outcome with the police officer. But this person who fell asleep in the drive-in window evidently was stinking drunk, and to let this guy go about his business, he's a threat to the community. The people at Wendy's did the right thing.
All right. Well, Angela in Atlanta, what's the take from the home front on whether the people did the right thing by sending in the cops?
Most of the people that I've spoken to here in Atlanta do not agree that the police should have been called. They believe that that is an issue of mental health. And so a social worker or a trained and educated mental health specialist could have come and intervened either side by side with the police or handled the situation. Or they could have just called a tow truck company and moved his car out of the way of the drive-thru.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Fay Williams and Angela Dortch.
Good morning. I think the Supreme Court, I'm really afraid that that's going to be brought to play in this upcoming election and how important that was, because I know that during the Un-American Activities Committee meetings, inquiry, the Supreme Court let them do what they wanted to do, and it's important, you know, how that is made up. And the Republicans are going to suppress the vote. That's the only way they can win.
All right. Today, by the way, the Supreme Court ruled that existing civil rights law protects LGBT workers. The decision says Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which makes it illegal for employers to discriminate because of a person's sex, also covers sexual orientation and transgender status. Some believe this is a surprising decision from the Supreme Court, so we will see where we go. But the Supreme Court is a political group. All of these were nominated by U.S. presidents, as we know. And Angela Dortch, as we move ahead through 2020, are you optimistic things will be better?
Oh, I am extremely optimistic. I've seen my neighbors have gotten together. I've seen not only just a city awakening, but a state awakening here in Georgia, and a national and a global awakening. So although it's been exhausting to go through, I am very hopeful and optimistic.
All right. And Faye Williams from Washington, D.C., is it going to get better?
Well, you know, I have to go back to my good friend Dick Gregory again. He used to admonish us to wake up and stay woke. So, again, as he would say, now that you're awake, don't go back to sleep. And I certainly think that the people out there who are working so hard are definitely awake and won't be going back to sleep soon.
Thank you, Faye Williams, and thank you, Angela Dorch. 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number, and we will return after this pause for the news with more discussion. And later in the hour, we'll also hear from Paul Arrigo, head of Visit Baton Rouge. This is Jim Eakster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana on the 15th day of June, 2020. 877-217-5757 is your number. And talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. And I do want to note, Ben Myers sent me a note saying, Jim, I want to make you aware that one of your longtime supporters, Gertrude Trudy Myers, and also my dear mother, passed away peacefully at the age of 91 on April 19th. She was a regular listener, called in several times. She always made it a point to be sitting down for breakfast just before your show came on the air. I hope you can simply mention her name on the air as a longtime supporter of yours who passed away, and certainly we remember Miss Trudy well, and we'll miss her. And thank you for the nice note, Ben. 877-217-5757. Another listener notes that, you know, we used to start our show regularly by mentioning birthdays, and if we had done that last week every day of the week, certainly on the 10th, I would have mentioned that it was the 49th birthday of Bobby Jindal, the former governor of Louisiana. And the listener put it in perspective. He said Jindal was 24 when he was named the Secretary of the Department of Health, the state's largest agency, by Governor Mike Foster. So more time has now elapsed since his appointment as Secretary of the Department of Health than has when he was born until the time he got that position. He was a man on the rise. Looked like he would be President of the United States, and he did run for the highest office of the land in 2016. And he criticized Donald Trump mightily, and that's probably kept Bobby Jindal from getting a cabinet position. But other Republicans criticized the president, and they came aboard, did so rather easily. No problem for Ted Cruz, no problem for Marco Rubio, and certainly no problem for Lindsey Graham, who's become the biggest Trump acolyte in the U.S. Senate. And he's running for re-election in South Carolina, and he probably will win based on his support for Donald Trump, who is popular among voters in the Palmetto State. But a group called Republican Voters Against Trump, I think that's the name, and it's led by people like Steve Schmidt, longtime Republican political consultant, and George Conway, the husband of Kellyanne Conway, who's a top advisor to the president. They have this killer spot of Lindsey Graham, in his own words, not only condemning President Trump, but praising Joseph Robinette Biden, who is Democratic nominee.
For a minute. What is Donald Trump's campaign about? He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. And you know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
If you can't admire Joe Biden as a person, then it's probably you got a problem. You need to do some self-evaluation. Because what's not to like? He is as good a man as God ever created. He said some of the most incredibly heartfelt things that anybody could ever say to me. He's the nicest person I think I've ever met in politics. This is a defining moment in the future of the Republican Party. We have to reject this demagoguery, and if we don't reject Donald Trump, we've lost the moral authority, in my view, to govern this great nation.
That's Lindsey Graham. The election is 19 weeks from tomorrow, and Donald Trump's poll numbers, as noted a bit earlier in this program, have never been positive, but and right now they're really sucking wind, and the question is whether he can recover. In the conflation of polls from Real Clear Politics, his approval rating is 42.4%, his disapproval 55.3%, a 12.9% spread. And even in polls like Rasmussen, which he is often cited as being fair polling, he's down 13 points, 56-43 in the Rasmussen poll that was released yesterday. So that shows how things have changed for the president in that he's now at 42.4. But mind you, he won an election in 2016 with 46.1% of the votes. The Real Clear national average of the mock race between Biden and Trump has Biden at 49.8 and Trump at 41.7. The betting odds are that Biden will be, this is Las Vegas, 52.4% chance of winning and Trump 43.4. And the Electoral College, 197 apparently locked up for Biden, 125 electoral votes locked up for Trump, and 270 is what it takes to win. I've noted the SEC states have 11 states that comprise 150 electoral votes. Trump won all of them in 2016, so if he starts with just those, he would have 150, but some of those states are in play, like Florida and like Georgia. So we shall see whether the president can keep the 11 states of the SEC. But one state he will almost certainly be retaining is that of the great state of Louisiana. Very little doubt that Donald Trump won't carry Louisiana, but he could lose in Florida, and he could lose in Georgia, and those are two rich electoral harvests, and that would be enough that Joe Biden would become the president, the 46th president of the United States. Yesterday was the president's 74th birthday. Biden turns 78 later this year. Collectively, they're almost 152 years old. And as we noted, to put it in perspective, in the year of 1960, John Kennedy was 43, and Richard Nixon, who was born in 1913, was 47. So that was a combo of 90 years, and now we've gone to 78 and 74, 152. So we are getting older and older, which may be a good thing for those of us who are getting older and older. 877-217-5757. And speaking but oldies but goldies, we have Paul Arrigo, head of Visit Baton Rouge. And Paul Arrigo, this has been a devastating time for tourism in addition to many other activities in our world. But how's it looking as you peer ahead to an age in which coronavirus will not be front and center?
Boy, wouldn't that be a great time, Jim, and we're anxiously or eagerly awaiting for that time. I can tell you that we just came off of, well, 2019 was a good year, and we started 2020 well with the brand Baton Rouge, certainly known nationally and internationally due to the championship season, and we were going into this year thinking, wow, isn't this going to be a great year with 2020? And, of course, come the middle of March, threw us the curveball. As you know, no industry was affected by the virus as much as the hospitality industry, be it retail associated with it, entertainment, dining, and certainly the hotel. So it has been, in my 40-some-odd years, I don't think I can add up every bad thing that happened in this industry in 40-some-odd years and tie it into the last several months.
Well, we did have a case in Louisiana in which we've had a number of protests, but they have been largely peaceful. Now, yesterday they did throw John McDonough's statue in the river in New Orleans, and that's bad form, but at least it's not killing people but or burning businesses down. But what does that do if people are scared and don't want to go out, in addition to being scared of perhaps getting a deadly virus, but also scared of getting involved in a fracas?
Yeah, you know, certainly we've looked at all of the demonstrations, and I can tell you, Jim, that none have affected any activity we had here, any travel that we had. Of course, it's not exactly the most traveled times right now, but in regard to what occurred in New Orleans with the statue, with John McDonough, as you know, being from New Orleans, all schools were named, I think, many of the schools were named in his honor. We have not gotten any feedback negatively on that. We are encouraging, just like every other agency, encouraging the populace to practice social distancing, wear masks, et cetera, and because as soon as this thing gets, we've got to beat this thing before we get back to normalcy. There is a certain amount of interest right now in what we call staycations. That would be locals and nearby drive-in populace to visit Baton Rouge. After all, it is the state capital, and there are certain things that are open at this time, a lot of the museums and...
All right. Well, let's go to Mike in Villa Del Rey. Matt's giving me the cue to go to Mike. Mike, you're on with Paul Arrigo and yours truly. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. I've got a couple of questions. Before COVID, me and my 8-year-old daughter were going downtown to the trunk show and the planetarium and, you know, the places down there. How is that looking? Is any of that going to, have they found a way to work that?
The planetarium?
The planetarium, and they got a trunk show in there for the kids, and you know, and just different things, and we catch a little cafe or something down.
Yeah, I think I got that question in regard to the planetarium. I know that the attractions and the museums are open right now with social distancing. In regard to the trunk show, I'm looking at one of my expert staff members, because we're trying to keep track on everything. I will find out as quickly as we can and get that answer back to you. I know there are certain limitations on exhibits and the ability to utilize the exhibits in some of the attractions. So let me find out what I can. Obviously, there are...
BAS Wyandotte was doing the chemistry shows and all that at the museum, you know, and we really miss going. I'll hang up.
All right. Thank you. Good to hear
from
Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll get that answer to you, Jim.
Well, the lawmakers are in session, so.
The lawmakers are in session, and that certainly brings a certain amount of activity, not only downtown, but to the restaurants. I don't know whether Ruth Chris or if Drago's is as busy as they expected, but I know there's a certain amount of activity.
They're busy. Watermark's open.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the downtown hotels. And we see a certain amount of activity.
Okay. We do have to take a break, and we'll return with Paul. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Great to have you with us. We've been blessed with some beautiful weather since the COVID-19 pandemic took our world as we know it away from us. It was on March the 16th. It was a Monday 3 months ago that John Bel Edwards imposed the stay-at-home order, and today, almost exactly 3 months later, one day short, we are now at phase two, and the governor will be with us come Wednesday at 2 p.m. for Ask the Governor. And tomorrow in this studio, we are slated to hear from Chief Murphy Paul. He's been in the news, and it should be a compelling conversation with him. And as mentioned, Alex Martin, the editor of the Wall Street Journal, who's a New Orleanian, classmate of mine and colleague of mine. He was my boss at the Reveille back in the year of 1981. He has moved to Friday. But we have Paul Arrigo, who, like Alex, went to New Orleans High School. Alex went to Holy Cross. Paul went to Brother Martin. And for the last 27 years, Paul Arrigo, formerly Paul Arrigo, has been head of Visit Baton Rouge. And right now... things are picking up, but we've got a long, long way to go to get back to where we were. And he has been one of the great salesmen for Baton Rouge. And I mentioned those hotels. How can they keep going if there's nobody staying in them or not very few people staying, Paul?
Well, yeah, it's certainly challenging. And certainly we did lose some hotels to temporary shutdown, temporary closing. None downtown. Well, excuse me, I take that back. I think the Belle of Baton Rouge is temporarily closed, but obviously it's going to have to pick up to bring it back to where even where it's sustainable. We think, Jim, that the first market to return will be the corporate transient business, the corporate traveler, that has been away from their face-to-face contacts with clients for so long. I think that's going to be a demand. We've noticed some leisure travel with locals and nearby drive-in coming down to stay at the hotels and do the dining, shopping, and entertainment that we're known for. And we expect that the individual team sport, amateur sports will come back. I can tell you, too, that we just received word from Travel Pulse, which is a well-respected website, that Baton Rouge is the place to visit for a staycation in Louisiana. So it's good to be named at the number one location in Louisiana, and certainly anytime we can beat the city down the road in something, it's always good.
Well, as we speak, we are 82 days away from the scheduled opening of the LSU football season.
Yes, we are.
82 days, Paul. 82.
San Antonio, UT San Antonio, followed by Texas, followed by Rice. That's three Texas teams, two at home, certainly three markets for us from a travel market. So, you know, it would be great to have things the way we want them to be at the beginning of September and have all those Texas people exchange some money here like we did there. You know, we're all hopeful that that's going to happen. Of course, we've got no control over that.
But if it doesn't happen, there will be hell to pay.
Absolutely. Now, I did get a note here from our friend Davis Rohr over at the DDD, who sent
good man,
to me.
Good man. What did he say?
He sent to me all the things that are open in Baton Rouge and things to do, and he said, share it with Mr. Inkster. So I will send that to you, Jim. And
do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I do. Things
well,
like,
why don't you read the first few items?
All right. We know that the USS Kidd's open daily. Old State Capitol's open daily, at least on Tuesday through Saturday. Capitol Park Museum, Old Governor's Mansion, LSU Museum of Art, so Baton Rouge Gallery. So there's certainly a lot of activity going on downtown, what there is to do. And I think that it's important. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of words we use to Baton Rouge recovery, which I kind of spun into rediscover, because I think it's so important that we understand all that we have here in the capital city. We're a very affordable destination. We're, you know, the price on our museums and attractions is very, very affordable. We are the state capital, and I think it's important that not only Baton Rougeans but Louisianians understand that and recognize that we've got an awful lot here, and it's a great educational experience to visit the capital city.
Well, Paul Arrigo, you are at the forefront of trying to get Baton Rouge bigger than it is, and you have been very successful at that. When you took over in 1997, let's start there. What did the downtown area look like then?
Boy, 1997, what I can remember was a Travel Lodge hotel, I think. There was something called New Richmond Apartments, which was operating sometimes as a hotel. I think there might have been one or two restaurants plus the City Club. So, you know, we were on North Boulevard, and we had to walk down here, and it was a big thing to have a street concert at that time. I don't know whether it was called Live After Five or what it was called in 1997, but
Rhythm and Views.
And coming from New Orleans and then on to Washington, D.C., you know, two vibrant downtowns, two vibrant cities, to Baton Rouge, it was a little bit of a challenge. And, of course, at that time, we didn't have the expansion of the River Center, which led to the Bowling Congress that we have had twice and will have again, and the women that we had. So the downtown has just evolved tremendously, the amount of dining, shopping, and entertainment opportunities. It's changed tremendously. And darn it, we kind of wish this didn't happen to us right now, because it's going to be a little bit of a setback. But again, I think we as Louisianians owe it to ourselves and to our families to visit the capital city. We've got great museums and great things to do here.
listener. It's Tom on Bluebonnet. Asks, what happened to the Three Coins Inn?
The Three Coins Inn. Boy, you're preaching like, boy, Jim, I don't remember
that. Was open in 97 over there by the courthouse. I think I got the name, or Tom got the name right. I believe so. But, yeah. Paul, not one of Paul's haunts, obviously.
I don't, you know, Jim, I don't.
But it was
one
of the restaurants that was open in the year of 1997, and I'm sure our erudite listening audience will pick up on this.
I will never challenge Jim Inkster on a fact.
Well, I'm quoting Tom on Bluebonnet, so he gets the credit or the blame if it goes awry. Now, here's one from Peter. Peter asking about these trial lawyers who are, right now, they're a bit concerned. The legislature could override the governor's veto on this tort reform bill, and it would certainly affect their businesses. You got some trial lawyers who are right down there downtown, Dudley DeBosier right there at the corner of the interstate, some others. And you got billboards. Paul, are trial lawyers good for business in Louisiana?
You know, any professional that brings people into town is good for Louisiana, whether it's construction or petrochemical or plants, et cetera. As far as the trial lawyers issues with the legislature, right now I'm glad the legislature is in because I think that brings a certain amount of activity here. And there's some other issues, particularly the historic credits that are of interest to us.
Here's Morgan in St. Francisville asking if Baton Rouge can continue to sustain three casinos.
Can Baton Rouge continue to sustain three casinos? God, I hope so. You know, I think right now everybody's feeling the drop back, not just Baton Rouge, all of the casino locations. I do believe, Jim, that sports betting would help and would sustain a certain amount. Because when you think about sports betting, you know, let's just look at the home schedule that LSU's going to have, or we just got off of. Let's think about all those Alabama people who just couldn't help themselves then would have to bet on Alabama. Now, I know that the vote, first the legislature has to pass, and then the vote doesn't occur until the fall. But wouldn't it be great to have all those Alabama people who just can't help themselves and have to bet on their team, and that's when they come to Baton Rouge. And what it would do for Shreveport and New Orleans and Lake Charles as destinations when there's a big event in the country, you know, Super Bowl or what have you. So whether we can sustain three casinos, I'm not sure, but they are certainly an addition to our package that we would promote here in Baton Rouge.
I'm not sure that fans always bet on the team they're rooting for. In fact, I knew a guy once who intentionally bet against the team he rooted for. That way he says, I'm a winner either way, Paul.
That's right. I can assure you Alabama people have such a love affair with themselves that they would not bet. They would either bet on Alabama or not bet. I know that much. You know, it's a lot like
they're pious people in Alabama. They probably don't bet at all.
Believe me, it's like the University of the South, Jim. They just have this love affair with themselves.
there we go again. Here's somebody who obviously knows you. Byron asking, what was Brother Martin before it was Brother Martin?
Well, Brother Martin merged two Catholic high schools. One was Cor Jesu, and the other was St. Aloysius. St. Aloysius celebrated their 100th anniversary in 1969. The merge occurred in 1970. My senior year, I was a member of the Cor Jesu student body. I was the first graduating class from Brother Martin. We couldn't celebrate our 50th anniversary this year. We backed it up till the fall. But let me tell you this, Jim. I graduated sixth in my class.
Well, we know you're a smart man. Hopefully there were more than seven people in the class. I think so. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support for Talk Louisiana. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow. Stay tuned.